The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday, May 18th, 2018. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuelita Sun, sitting in for Bill, who is still enjoying the Bahamas with his wife. And he's gone for the this week and next, so several of us are sitting in for him. You can check out some great photos and thoughts from his trip on his Facebook page. And we got Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. And I guess, Tom, he actually even Bill called in earlier this week and did an entire show from the Bahamas.
You know, if I'd have known he was going to do that, I would have made a point to listen. I missed that.
The man should be resting on his vacation, but he's working, and it was a good show. So this show is heard live Monday through Friday, noon to 1 p.m. right here on KVOI 1030 a.m., and we are live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. The Friday show also re-airs on Saturday. And, Tom, what time is that? Is that at 7 o'clock?
Saturday morning on KVOI at 7.
7 a.m. You can also find archives of past shows at buckmastershow.com. Let's take a moment to acknowledge the Buckmaster Show media partners. They are TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, Sahuelita Sun, Inside Tucson Business, and Tucson Weekly, and there are a few others there you can find on Bill's website. He likes to acknowledge them every week. In today's Friday Focus interview, we'll be talking to Steve Christie. He's a Pima County Supervisor for District 4, which includes Green Valley and sweeping east through Vail and on up to Mount Lemons. It's just a huge district. If you want to join the discussion, you're always welcome. Call the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. Supervisor Christie, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Dan. It's always great to be here with you.
Great to talk to you, and I appreciate that you are down in Green Valley quite a bit, and today you're going to be there an awful lot.
Yeah, I just came up from Green Valley, and I got another function tomorrow this afternoon that I got to go back to.
Okay, great. Well, about a year ago, we were sitting in these chairs, and I interviewed you, and you were 4 months into the job, and I think I asked you if you regretted running, and you, with a big smile on your face, you said, absolutely not, you're enjoying the job. Fast forward a year, still enjoying it?
I love being supervisor. This is just wonderful. I'm having a terrific time, and I'm very grateful that I had this opportunity, and I just love being supervisor.
Oh, terrific. And you actually come off convincingly we actually believe you when you say that. And, you know, there have been a couple of tight spots over the last year for all of the board and some really tough decisions, and we just are facing one right now. It looks like we're heading for a June 19th vote on a half-cent sales tax that potentially could address the county's road problems, but it's safe to say it is not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty well foregone conclusion that it's pretty much a done deal of not being able to be passed. As you may remember, back in October, I unveiled my own plan, which was entitled Just Fix the Roads, and at that particular point, the board developed a lot of discussion, and there was some request that the Pima County staff do some sort of a gleaning of every supervisor's feelings about picking plans to address our road needs, and then kind of put them all together in some sort of a sensible manner and create an ordinance and a resolution to move forward with a plan. We had those robust discussions, and they used my Just Fix the Roads plan kind of as a base template. As you recall, the foundations of my plan called for the RTA to be the fully activated administrator and director and the developer of the road repair plan. And that 100% of the funds that needed to be generated through a countywide sales tax go directly and solely towards repairing the roads. And as things progressed over the ensuing months, a lot of things kind of got in the way of that plan of mine and diluted it and changed it. At one point, they were talking about reducing property tax by using the sales tax revenues. Then there was the issue of a sales tax is a regressive form of a tax, and it unfairly burdens economically challenged communities. And consequently, one supervisor felt compelled to insist that if there was going to be a countywide sales tax, that up to his initial move was up to 20% of all revenues that are generated be dedicated to social service agencies. So the original Just Fix the Roads plan that I came out with in October kind of became a cornucopia, if you will, of different options that really diluted it and changed it and muddied it to the point where, from my standpoint, when we voted on this ordinance and that it included the monies going to social service agencies, I could not support it, and I could not vote for it, and I did not.
And because it's a tax hike, it would require a unanimous vote.
The ordinance was basically how the roads are going to be fixed. It showed it included a countywide plan of road repair, what roads are going to be fixed, when they're going to be fixed, what kind of repair they would be undergoing, and a timetable, and that type of thing. Then it did include RTA involvement and administration, maybe not as much as I would like, but I was hoping to be able to cinch that up a little bit. But unfortunately, it did include in this ordinance that the monies be dedicated to a certain percentage to social service agencies. That was the ordinance. That only required a simple majority to pass, which it did, 3-2. The upcoming resolution that ties the ordinance to the resolution and to the tax, the half-cent sales tax, has to be approved unanimously by the Board of Supervisors. Well, you can't have the resolution unless the ordinance goes with it, and you can't pass the ordinance unless the resolution is tied to it. So they conjoin there, and they're basically one and the same. So as I was unable to vote for the ordinance, I will be unable to vote for the sales tax enactment.
And this was Supervisor Richard Elias, who wanted to have, I guess, what he calls a poverty commission funded out of this. And over the 10-year life of the tax, it would have been more than $50 million, perhaps substantially more. How was the...
And if I could jump in real quick, one of the ways to keep my interest in it was that there was a very late last-minute addition that let's leave the sales tax revenue alone. We won't touch that. But instead of using the sales tax revenue for a portion of it to go to social service agencies, we'll leave the sales tax revenue alone and take somewhere around $3 million out of the general fund. In other words, the county's household checking account, we're going to take $3 million from that, and it'll leave the tax revenue alone. Well, that's basically a shell game. It's the same thing. And if they can find $3 million to go into some sort of a fund for social agencies, certainly they can find $3 million and now perhaps more that could be dedicated to road repair.
And it was not only $3 million, but it was $3 million per year with the addition of at least $500,000 each year after
that. Yeah, and I think the bottom number at the end of the term of the resolution or the ordinance or the plan was somewhere around, what was it, 52 or 50,
yes.
58 million or
yes.
something like that?
Over 52. It depends on if they started that 3 million or not, because they already were taking between 3 and 10 million out of that general fund just from some minor road repairs. That would go away because we would have the tax, and then they would take that money and fund this poverty commission. So how was this poverty commission rolled out to you? Exactly who would be getting the money, and what would it be covering that we aren't covering already in social services?
Well, that leads to another great point. To answer the first part of your question, they have not divulged the actual intricacies of that commission and how the money's going to be appropriated. But I made the point at Tuesday's meeting that every meeting, and I've only been on there for less than a year and a half, but every meeting there are a number of procurements or awards or grants or even checks to be written right out of the general fund of the county that go to social service agencies and programs, anywhere from, you know, job creation, job training, to health subsidies, to housing subsidies, to the tune of annually millions and millions of dollars that are already going in a huge amount of money taxpayer money to social service agencies. And now when we have, I think, the most important and problematic issue facing Pima County, which is the condition of our roads, we still have to give more to social service agencies in order to get to that pathway to fixing our roads. It just made no sense to me. And quite frankly, it was a bridge way too far, and I could not support it.
So Mr. Elias, in essence, expected people to vote for more than $50 million for a poverty commission, but he wasn't going to, at least at this point, divulge exactly how that money was going to be spent.
No, there was the creation of the commission. I think the plan called for supervisors to appoint people to it, much like the Sales Tax Advisory Commission and the Transportation Commission that they put together. This would be another commission of appointments, and from that point they would decide how this money that was going to be coming out of the general fund would be appropriated to the service agencies.
Okay, we're going to continue this discussion after the break. You are listening to the Buckmaster Show, and we're talking to Supervisor Steve Christie. We'll be right back for more of our Friday Focus interview.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers and more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion, and your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. The Buckmaster Show, weekdays live during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shearer, sitting in for Bill. This portion of the show is presented by Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is at the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise, where owners Steve and Sherry do a great job with European baked goods, breads, pastries, cakes, brownies. They got everything. In fact, they're open for lunch right now if you're interested. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go to buckmastershow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. And we are talking with Supervisor Steve Christie from District 4, which is Green Valley and Vail and Mount Lemon and everywhere.
Tangaverde Valley.
It's huge. It's just this huge district. So I appreciate you being here. And we were in the middle of a discussion of what is going to amount to a failed half-cent sales tax vote to try to fix the roads in the county. It does not appear it's going to go anywhere. The first vote, which was for the ordinance, passed on Tuesday, but now you need a unanimous vote in June for this to go through. You are a no vote because Richard Elias, one of the supervisors, wants to spend more than $50 million on a poverty commission. That's what we were talking about when the break came up. And really, again, no details on exactly how that would work out. You would appoint people. And I think he was trying to deal with the potential damage of the extra half-cent sales tax on people.
That's his point. As you've known for some time now, that the sales tax is considered in many areas as a regressive tax, an unfair tax that places an undue burden on economically challenged communities. That, I'm sure, is open for debate because we all have to ride on the roads and we all use the roads. But to the point of the amount of money that is he is requiring to be utilized, it's just at a point where it's just a bridge way too far.
Okay, if he were to drop the poverty commission, I think after the ordinance vote, though, it's probably too late to change anything. Yeah. But if he were to drop that from the plan, then you possibly would be on board. It's not perfect, but it's pretty darn close.
Yeah, if there were some more assertions made that the RTA would have the primary driving force in the development, the administration, and the actual plan of road repair, and that there were assurances that Pima County would not have any access to any of that money, and that it would strictly and solely go through the RTA for roads, it certainly would open up a whole new chapter that I would be very, very interested in revisiting.
Do you think Ally Miller would go for it if he dropped the poverty commission?
I don't believe she would.
And she has said that she thinks there's enough misspending, wasted money out there that if we reined that in, it'd be more than enough to fix the roads. With Richard Elias's, what he has introduced here into this tax plan, it almost has me convinced that she might be right.
Yeah, there is definitely some truth to that. If they can find $52 million over 10 years from the general fund for social services, the mind reels at what you think that might be available there for possibility of road repair.
And then again, if this tax were to be, it sunsets after 10 years, but mm-hmm. if it were to continue another 10 years, that $52.5 million would be well over $100 million, probably into the $140 million range because of how the wording is there.
Escalation of it.
Yeah, it's all negotiable, of course. But anyway, this didn't get by you and Supervisor Miller, so it looks like that's not going to happen. Now, we've had a House bill, we've had a Senate bill, we've had a community improvement district, sales tax, property tax, talk of increasing the gas tax. Nothing has worked. The roads are still screwed up. What's next?
I wish I could sit here on your show today and say, well, we've got everything lined up to fix the roads. Unfortunately, that is not the case. I don't see anything short-term or long-term. However, that's not going to stop our efforts to try to continue to explore to find some sort of dedicated funding source that can go to the roads. We're going to keep searching and diligently pursuing a Plan C. We lost a really good opportunity up at the State House of expanding the RTA's mission to include road repair, and to allow it to address those road repair needs by expanding the already currently existing half-cent sales tax to a full tax. You know, the RTA, we've always said, is like Switzerland. Everybody in the community has confidence and respect for it. They've done a terrific job over 12 years, 800 and some projects on time, under budget. We've all benefited from it. Everything from the Twin Peaks overpass to the Houghton Road corridor enhancement, the Tankaverde Road enhancement, all of the intersections throughout the county that have been expanded and improved and modernized. And certainly if they can do those very focused and difficult engineering and environmental sensitive issues as well as they have, they certainly can pave roads and fill potholes. And we would have the confidence in knowing that the money that they would be collecting would be going to the roads.
So we did have a bill in the legislature, but it just didn't
make it. Evaporated. It was one of those perfect storm things. Unfortunately, it seemed like it had real strong legs there at the end. Some folks were even doing the chicken dance on the goal line. And then you had, of course, all the budget issues blow up at that time. And then the teachers thrown into that mix. And apparently there was a lot of leveraging among legislatures to get votes on certain things and to get support on other things. And at the 12th hour, as the gong was ringing, that whole opportunity that we had before us to actually get the plan before the voters, which is the best part of it,
right?
Because the voters should have the ultimate decision in any kind of a tax. That whole really fine, transparent, efficient way that we could have addressed our roads evaporated. Now, certainly we're going to pursue it the next legislative turnaround to see if there's ways we can do that. But again, you know, that's another year out, and then to bring it to the voters again, and then to actually enact it. Every day that passes, the roads get worse, deteriorate more, and get more costly to repair.
Okay, very good. We're going to go to the phones now. We got Jim Kelly on the line. Jim, how are you?
I am well, sir. How are you?
Good. Go right ahead.
Listen, yo, what's the deal with Miller and Elias? You know, they're poisoning. They poison pill these things and their votes all the time. What's going to get these two to get to the table and do what's right for Pima County? Both of them. I mean, they're both doing the same thing. They poison pill stuff. It's got to stop. I mean, it absolutely has to stop. How are we going to get them to stop doing that?
I think you've asked the million-dollar question. We're going to try and continue to work with everybody on the board to find some sort of collaboration, some sort of common path that we can all live with to get something done. At least that's going to be my position and moving forward. It is frustrating when you work very hard in something that you passionately believe in, only to get, and pardon the pun, I guess, only to get roadblocked by certain issues that crop up that are just untenable. But we're not going to stop, and we're going to continue to try to work with the other supervisors and try to find some way to address what I think is the most important number one issue and problem facing Pima County, and that's addressing the horrific problems we have with our roads.
Well, from what I'm hearing from pretty much everybody in Green Valley, you're right on with that. They want the roads dealt with. We're going to go back to the phones. Matthew.
Yeah, Supervisor, it's my understanding that the County Transportation Department is right now attempting to use different methods to patch the roads and do a compare and contrast. So I hope you follow that to see if they can find a better way of spending the money we do on roads right now.
You mean road repair products?
Yeah, they're using a different construct where they're basically testing out how we're repairing the roads.
Yeah.
To see if the materials we're using, if we could use another material versus, you know, they're doing some compare and contrast. I recommend that you check up on that.
Second thing is
we need to consider here in the county closing roads. Certain roads are no longer maybe the tenable thing to have, and we need to have an idea of moving traffic more constructively by expanding maybe something or connecting something. So hopefully you'll work with RTA to say, hey, you know, really, how many roads really need to constantly be repaired that are really no longer useful to the county? And I know that sounds For some areas, that might be more problematic because of density. But it's something that communities are recognizing. They're recognizing that you can't keep building roads and then expect not to have to constantly repair them, and the cost is just exorbitant.
Okay,
at
good.
At some point, you need to close roads.
Thank you, Matthew.
The last thing, real quickly, the TUSD over the TUSD tax with the DSEG money. I hope the county board of supervisors works with TUSD, assists them, has the county attorney look into filing a lawsuit. Otherwise, you're going to lose total trust with the property owners. Thank you very much. Bye.
Okay. Thank you, Matthew. I do not want to end on a down note here, so give us some good news out of the county or your district, anywhere in the district. What's going on?
Well, first of all, we do have some little granules of crumbs that we were fighting for in our office that we were able to get, and that is we were able to shift around some monies for road repair in our in the Green Valley area. Initially, the Pima County Department of Transportation recommended roughly for the Green Valley area $51,000, which basically was like spray painting a cul-de-sac. We, through our efforts and hard work and persistence, we got that moved up to over $600,000 that would address several very significantly failed roads and would require and will receive, I believe they call it mill and fill, right down to the ground, which is the way that these roads need to be fixed. And these roads that are going to be fixed under this new plan that we worked so hard to get haven't been touched in decades. And of course, the second thing for our district wise is the good news about the Amazon relocating, or I should say constructing a facility here. That's going to bring to our district a lot of jobs and a lot of opportunity and future growth. And it just I think is evidenced and shows how much District 4 and the east side and the Vail area are growing. And it's a very good thing and a very positive note.
Very good. And our friend Dylan Smith over at TucsonSentinel.com broke that story weeks ago on Amazon. He was right on. That is going to wrap it up for our Friday Focus interview. Our thanks to Supervisor Steve Christie for joining us.
And thank you for having me.
Joe Ferguson, who is the political writer for the Arizona Daily Star, is going to be in for our Friday roundtable discussion. We'll be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Humane Society of Southern Arizona's new location is open at 635 West Roger Road. Come fall in love with our pet-friendly cafe. Check out our giant cat habitats or meet a new dog friend in our doggy play yards. You can also bring your pet in for their vaccinations or spay-neuter surgery at our new state-of-the-art clinic. Come see all that we have to offer you and your pet at 635 West Roger Road. The Humane Society of Southern Arizona, saving your future best friend.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is 12:35, and this is the time of week where we talk about big news events. And with Joe Ferguson, political reporter for the Arizona Daily Star. Welcome, Joe.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate being here.
Sure. The CD2 race, Congressional District 2, certainly it's on the national radar, and it has been even before Martha McSally announced that she was going to run for the Senate. Leaving the seat wide open. It seems like every time we turn around, we got another candidate in that race. The Republicans have quite a few. The Democrats, what is it, seven for them?
Seven now, yeah.
Yeah, and so what's going on in that race of interest? Because I've been to two or three of their forums, or they call them debates, but they're really not. They seem like group hugs.
Well, if you want to get together, you know, right after this, there's another debate today. Seven Democrats are getting together at a retirement center where they're going to hash it out again. So that's happening today. The end of the month is going to be a good chance for us to understand how many Democrats, how many Republicans are actually going to be in the race, how many of them actually turn in their signatures, and whether those signatures actually get challenged.
So it is a big month then for just that reason. And money, though, of course, is always the deciding factor, it seems, in a lot of these primaries. Who's got the money, and is that really going to be what's calling it at this point? And let's just throw names out there, Ann Kirkpatrick and Leah Marquez Peterson for the Republicans.
And and Matt Hines has thrown in quite a bit of money of his own the race. So
right.
I think he's going to be a factor for the next couple of months at least on that. So, I mean, I think those are the three big names in terms of being able to advertise, to do mailers, reach out. Who knows? We might even see them on TV in the coming weeks.
Well, Matt Hines lost and fairly badly to Martha McSally last time. Do you think that was a money issue, or do you think it was a candidate issue?
I think that, you know, it's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B. Matt certainly didn't get the DCCC backing in 2016, and that hurt him to some extent. You know, Martha was able to really outspend him to a high expense, and that you know, really hurt in terms of trying to get name recognition against a sitting incumbent.
And then Martha McSally now has the challenge of taking her message statewide. She didn't have to do that before. We know that Maricopa County at least thinks that it rules the state, and it is a very important place, so she's probably spending a whole lot of time up there. Have you had much interaction with her now, given her new status as a Senate candidate?
I caught her up in Saddlebrook. I'm talking to the Saddlebrook Republicans for a candidate kind of meet and greet. And she answered a question about whether or not she was going to do a lot of campaigning down here. And what she told them is that she wasn't going to go on a different radio show or any others because they know her down here and she really needs to get her message out there. So she's telegraphed that really her outreach is going to be outside of the CD2 area.
Do you think she has any concerns about the GOP primary?
Well, I think that there's a lot of people reading the tea leaves of what she did lately when she changed and took her name off of a DACA bill that she really had front and center last year.
Okay, and so in a sense, is it fair to say she reversed herself on that then?
I think that's fair.
Okay, she is getting a lot of flack for that. But she obviously thought that she either truly had a change of heart or would get some mileage out of it.
She's put forward a really full-throated defense of her new position. I saw a tweet today where she was advocating, as the House considers a number of immigration bills, for a full-throated one that backs a more policy that's backed by the Trump administration.
So Kelly Ward and Joe Arpaio are in that race, and a lot of people feel like they are going to cancel each other out.
Well, Kelly Ward was in town earlier this week, and she also kind of hinted that maybe Joe Arpaio is a fading star. She seemed to suggest to supporters that maybe Arpaio wouldn't be on the ballot in a few weeks.
Ah, okay. So didn't give any details, obviously, but...
As we've got the same deadline for Congress, we've got the same deadline for Senate... she seems to suggest that maybe Arpaio won't be turning in enough signatures to qualify.
Okay, so he's just not going to make it, so it's not necessarily arm-twisting. It might be just
petered out.
He's just not going to make it, okay. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see on the money side how he's doing, and I think a lot of people question even, again, why would he even do this? I think maybe he didn't want the lasting image of him to be, you know, what had happened, and then, of course, he had, with Trump bailing him out of that thing, maybe he wanted to go out as a candidate, not necessarily as the guy who needed the president's help at the last minute.
Or maybe he was considering more full-throated support from the president himself in his Senate run.
And just didn't get it. So we're talking a little bit about money, and that's always important. Former State Attorney General Terry Goddard was in our neck of the woods a couple months ago, had a chance to sit down with him, and he is... running a campaign. He wants to change the state constitution to require disclosure of campaign contributions. His website is outlawdirtymoney.com, and you can read the entire initiative there, but it would basically require anything over $10,000 you are going to disclose who you are. And they make a really good argument that money is influencing and even buying some elections, and that if we knew who was behind it, maybe these people wouldn't be giving so much money. Any thoughts on that?
Terry's got a lot of signatures he's going to have to gather for this. This is, in some ways, his second attempt for this kind of legislation. And right now, it's a grassroots kind of campaign, although Goddard indicated that, you know, he would be hiring on people to do paid signature gathering just to make the minimum threshold requirements. And so it's a tall Herculean task in terms of getting that number of signatures throughout the state. And, you know, it's kind of a wait and see whether he can really hit that number. It's a big number.
And the number is 225,000, and they need that, I think, by the end of June. Their goal is 300,000 by June 5th. So they want to make sure that they're actually going to get there. They did hire some people to go out and gather some signatures just here in the last couple of weeks. And I was talking to some folks down in Green Valley who have been running around with petitions and just saying, okay, how's it going? And they are very positive. They believe that they are nearing the goal, and that if they can get it on the ballot, there's going to be an overwhelming flood of support for this. A lot of people want to know where the donations are coming from. And we could actually see in March in Tempe that there was a lot of support for this. By a 91% margin, the voters there decided that they wanted to change their city charter that would require anybody giving more than $1,000 would have to disclose in these very local races. And then a couple of weeks later, 3 or 4 weeks later, the state legislature, the governor signed a bill that tanked that.
Well, I think that we're going to see a huge political fight if it comes down to that. Tempe is a great example, but you know what appeals in Tempe might not resonate in Sun City, Oro Valley, other areas of the state. So it could be a full-fledged fight come November. But the first hurdle, of course, as you mentioned, is June.
Well, and you look at both sides on this, and it's really a very interesting argument. And the Democrats, frankly, of course, are really behind this. They're the ones who are really pushing to have the names disclosed. But there are some key Republicans who have signed on to this also. But really, what it comes down to is just the reality that money does influence elections. And I don't know that people have grasped onto that to the point where they're getting, I guess, pretty excited about it.
I've been doing this for 13 years, and I got to tell you that every time we publish kind of a who's who in terms of giving money to candidates, it's always strong reading, lots of people on all political spectrums certainly dig into that information, and over the years it's gotten harder to get that information and to publish it to the community. So I think that, you know, Tempe is a great example of where you can show that people really want this information and feel that it helps fuel their political decisions.
Right. And again, it's not that they're saying people shouldn't be allowed to give to these campaigns. They just want to know who's giving. And I'll throw you out an example. Daniel Hernandez, who is from Legislative District 2, which is roughly Nogales on up to southern part of Tucson, has a lot of out-of-state contributors, and he's does not seem to have a problem getting that type of support. But these are out-of-state people deciding who potentially is going to be elected in a district in Arizona. And again, that's fine. They can give to that, but people want to know, and they probably want to know why. Why are you getting these people? So that is going to be out there, and in coming days and weeks, we're going to see if Terry Goddard actually gets those signatures and whether we will see that on the ballot in November. Again, it would require a change to the state constitution, which makes some people feel a little bit hinky. So we'll see how that plays. But a lot of information at their website, outlawdirtymoney.com. And again, the biggest opposition I've seen is from a couple of think tanks, and Goldwater Institute being one of them, where they feel like, people who give and have to disclose their name might be bullied. It's not like bullying is anything that's not common to political campaigns anyway, is it?
No, it's not. But, the difference between giving $25 and giving $5,000 is a lot. And the question is, how far down the spectrum do people get bullied for giving to their neighbor, giving to somebody that's, shares a political ideology? So
sure.
I know that we've had some very controversial ones, and at a small newspaper in Flagstaff, we wrestled with how to identify people who gave to controversial campaigns without necessarily saying where they live, but making sure that we identify the right person in terms of that.
And that's a good question, too, because sometimes this money is funneled through nonprofits, or we don't know how it gets to us. So it's an important topic. Terry Goddard, at the very least, has educated people about some of the realities of how some local and state elections have been influenced, including the Corporation Commission. There are some people who would suggest that APS helped buy all five members of GOP members of that. And so that's an interesting case study. And there was just a ruling last month on it by a judge, and APS will not say whether or not they contributed to these pro-utility commissioners. So let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. We will go to Paul first. Paul, are you there?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, my question is this. Since so many of our newspaper chains now are owned by far-left people, even foreign countries, don't you think that when we have the right to know when a newspaper recommends a particular candidate, we should know who the people are that's backing this situation?
Okay, very, very good. Joe, what do you think? So he wants to know when newspapers endorse, he wants to know, I guess, the ownership, or maybe if that's being pushed or what?
Well, I work for a company that's publicly traded, and the editorial board composition is published in our newspaper on a regular basis. So generally, you know, we have local people making local calls on that. And I can't speak for other news organizations in town, but for the Star, we've got local people making those calls. It's no further than that zip code.
And I will say that I work for a family-owned chain. We have newspapers in 10 states. The owners, on occasion, want to weigh in with an editorial, although it's been quite a while since they've done that. But when they send the editorial out to all the newspapers, it is optional to run them. Over the years, I've received 6 from them. I've run 3 of them. And I don't hear a word when we don't. So they don't want to abuse the privilege. Really, what it amounts to, Joe, is we have our integrity at stake. And if you sell out that, people, it is incredibly difficult to regain the trust or to ever win the trust back. And so, but this is a big game of trust. People trust that we are above board in how we deal with things. But it's an interesting question and a valid one. So we're going to go back to the phones. Terry.
Yes, sir. How are you?
Good.
Okay. And your guest, I want to say this. Bruce Wheeler, a Democrat and a fine man indeed, is from local here, Tucson. And I would think he would have more representation for us than a lady from the north part of the state, Ms. Kirkpatrick. Ms. Kirkpatrick brings practically nothing, but he has earned his vote, whether you're a Democrat, Republican, or independent. So I don't know the media should be given a long history and kudos to this very fine Democrat. And
okay.
So, and also for Terry Goddard to come out at the last minute and say something, because he was mayor 2 or 3 times in Phoenix when I was living in Phoenix.
Sure.
When Bob Usdane was in the state capitol working hard for the state of Arizona. And that he's all of a sudden has a night sweep, a prayer or something about people bringing in out state money. I mean, Terry won 3 times. Nobody, he didn't come up overnight and say, hey, where's that money coming from when he won 3 terms of mayor? All right.
Okay, thank you, Terry. Really, really appreciate that. Joe, is Ann Kirkpatrick a carpetbagger? Are you hearing that a lot?
I'm hearing that a lot. I won't comment directly.
Okay, and Bruce Wheeler has been here a long time, and he certainly is from this area, but she now lives here, and she is from this area too now. So, but that is a question that does seem to be dogging her.
It does.
So we got about 30 seconds left here. We heard the news, unfortunately, today, another school shooting, this one in Texas. Unconfirmed reports have 9 or 10 people dead. Going to be a huge issue on the campaign trail. Just keeps happening.
I've already heard that Wendy Rogers is involved in it. And, you know, the news is still fresh and heartbreaking.
Okay, very good. Well, that is going to wrap it up for our time with Joe Ferguson. He is the political writer for the Arizona Daily Star. Thank you for joining me. That's our Friday roundtable for this week. When we return, we're going to give you a little help planning your weekend.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improved regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
It is now time for the Weekend Watch, the best way to plan your next couple of days. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. So much to do in Silver City and Grant County, like exploring historic downtown Silver City or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Matt Russell, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Nice to have you back in the Buckmaster cockpit again, Dan.
Yeah, not my day job, and don't want it. Yeah. Bill's job is safe. So I love it when you send me what you're going to be talking about here, and you have got some special stuff today.
I do. You know, today is the big day for the opening of Series 19. Now, this is a cocktail bar and tasting room on Stone Avenue downtown that features Arizona spirits and only Arizona spirits. That's right. There is not one product on their shelves or in their wells that wasn't crafted in the Grand Canyon State. Now, this weekend's lineup includes nearly 50 whiskeys, vodkas, gins, rums, and others from about 15 Arizona distilleries from Flagstaff to Elgin. And in addition to sipping these spirits and signature cocktails, Dan, you can also purchase full bottles to go. Series 19 opens today at 3 p.m.
Awesome. So now a taste room, is that kind of like when I go to Costco and I eat lunch just by going to each tasting center, you know, where they're trying to sell stuff? Can you do that? Do they allow that?
No, you actually have to make a purchase.
Okay, well, and you know I don't drink, so I'm not going to be there anyway. But if you're into that, cocktail bar and taste room, Series 19. Okay, what else you got?
Well, after you enjoy some Arizona spirits this afternoon, you can walk a couple of blocks to the Good Oak Bar on Congress for the final day of Arizona Rosé Week. From 5 to 8 p.m., you'll enjoy some local Arizona rosé wines and meet celebrity winemaker Todd Bostock from the Dos Cabezas Winery down in Sonoyta. There's also going to be some small plate pairings as well as some specially priced retail bottles. I think this is the perfect time of the year to enjoy this seasonal wine, and the Good Oak Bar is keeping it local tonight.
Okay, you know, when you sent that to me, I read it as Arizona Rose Week, and I thought, well, you know, a little cultured in downtown Tucson. But no, it's rosé. I should have known because it was from you. And, you know, you make everything.
I don't know the keypad command for the accent over the E in full disclosure.
And I've been spending too much time in Green Valley. That's also played into it. But you certainly make it sound absolutely terrific. Okay, we got one more thing, and it's awesome.
Yeah, chefs Ryan Clark and Rod Ledesma of the PY Steakhouse at Casino del Sol, they've launched an event called Dinner with Chefs, where they collaborate with a different Tucson chef every month to throughout the year. And on Sunday night at 6:30, they're going to be partnering with chefs Ken Harvey and Krista Owens of Lowe's Ventana Canyon Resort on a multi-course dinner featuring Arizona-grown products. The dinner's going to start with a commemorative cocktail, and each subsequent course is going to be paired with a special wine selection. Tickets are $75 a person, and you can make your reservations now by calling the PY Steakhouse. Quickly, the number is 324-9350. This sounds like a life-changing culinary experience, Dan.
Excellent. Matt Russell, thanks for helping us plan our weekend. Really appreciate it.
Have a great one, Dan. Thanks.
Okay, excellent. And that's going to wind up our show for this Friday, May 18th. The Buckmaster Show is produced by Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our team here at KVOI, including producer-engineer Tom Fairbanks, Ray Allen, Ed Alexander, production supervisor Jerry Cross, station owners Doug and Mary Martin, and Buckmaster Show executive assistant Rosemary Brandt, who is awesome. I am Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuadita Sun, wishing you a fantastic weekend.